Conciliums with Pete and Charlie.
I'm Pete.
I'm Charlie.
The unity of knowledge.
That and a whole bunch of caffeine is what's going to get us through this. I had Honey Nut Cheerios for breakfast, and I'm replenishing the electrolytes with a Powerade urine flavor.
I'm told, Pete, that you got hungover this morning, or you are hungover this morning. That
well,
you got
no, I mean, hungover implies you went on a bender and you partied all night. No.
Does it, though? A hangover doesn't imply
when
abuse.
When you're middle-aged, it's like two beers
a hangover,
at World of Beers.
A hangover implies that you drank when you're get old.
Some young whippersnapper started an open mic up at World of Beers in lovely Kennesaw, Georgia, home of Kennesaw State University, where the Fighting Owls are. Oof.
Are they really the Fighting Owls?
That was my
owls?
Second joke. I said, yeah, home of the Fighting Owls. Who came up with that mascot?
Who?
Oh, I didn't even think of that.
Ooh.
How witty of you, Captain Pun.
I like owls. I'm down with owls.
No, owls are good. I said, look, I'm not going to make fun of you because I'm from Georgia Tech, man. We got the yellow jackets. And you're thinking, ooh, it's a nasty, stinging insect. No, it was named for the yellow sport coats our boosters wore. So basically our mascot, it comes from a bunch of Century 21 realtors, which is just embarrassing.
How true is what you just said?
That's true. That was one of my jokes. My first joke, I'll let you judge.
No, how true is that yellow jacket?
Oh, that's true. That's very true. No, it has nothing to do with Century 21 Realtors, but we were called the yellow jackets because of the yellow sport jackets that our boosters wore. That is, you are a librarian? What are you, librarian two?
Oh, I'm actually up for promotion now.
To librarian three?
No, to librarian two.
Oh, to librarian. You're up for promotion, librarian two, and you are unaware of the history of the yellow jacket mascot?
I did not become a librarian until 2011. Did you know that?
All right. I think I knew that, but let me ask you a question. Is there like an initiation ceremony? Do you have to like bend over and say, thank you, sir, may I have another? Does it involve a cricket bat or something?
I'm trying to figure out whether I like you better when you're hungover or not. I'm not quite sure.
I had a good set last night, though, probably because I had a couple of beers.
As we've said before, you got to lubricate the mechanism.
You know, I just it was at a World of Beers. I mean, I approach beer like Lay's potato chips.
Let
you can't
ask you
just drink one.
About the plural of beer.
Uh-oh.
When you say beers, what is acceptable and what is kind of half-assed, slangy meanings to beers? Beer with an S.
I believe it's beer eye, like octopi. Although you tell me octopuses is okay now.
It should be.
What are you, making up the rules? What are you, the usage panel for Merriam-Webster?
As a librarian, I'm closer to it than you are.
Indeed you are. I'll allow it.
So, all right. I'll cut all that. So the
no, don't cut that. That's the quality. The rest of the show is going to be downhill from here on out, man.
You saying the yellow jacket thing and me not knowing it, and then you being a little offended.
Asshole-ish?
No, offended. Offended like an asshole. It puts me in mind of a subject that we could discuss.
Yes.
You have an article that's about diversity in academia.
Yes, from the New York Times op-ed section by Arthur C. Brooks of the American... What is this? Are these the American Heritage guys? American Enterprise Institute.
It's an easily summable... easily...
Summarizable?
Easily summarized.
Okay.
You don't have to... It's not easily...
It is easily summarized.
It's easily summarized. So we'll get to that.
Zinsser would be... who's the guy whose book I'm reading?
Yeah, William or Walter... No, William Zinsser.
Zinsser would be appreciative of your...
Probably not
brevity.
Because he's dead.
Is he dead?
Isn't he?
I don't know. I mean, he studied under White of Strunk and White, was it? White's dead.
Probably Strunk. White is dead.
Okay.
White was more of a writer than a teacher.
Okay.
Strunk was the professor. Yes.
Okay. I didn't know Zinsser was dead, but I'm enjoying his book.
Dick Laurent and William Zinsser are dead.
And so are Rosencrantz and Guildenstern.
Yes, they are.
All right. We came together on a literary reference. Booyah. I feel like Emeril of the literary world. Bam!
It's a good play. Blood is in all of them. Blood is compulsory.
Okay, so listen. The Sam Peckinpah of literature.
I did a show.
Damn, we should be on NPR.
No.
No.
Fred and I, Fred Rasko of Lost in the Stacks.
Of the library.
I did a show with Fred. Mm-hmm. Fred of the library and of Lost in the Stacks.
Yes.
We did a Sunday special on Friday. Sunday.
Blah. Okay.
Maybe I'm a little hungover too. We did a Sunday special on Sunday with our GT 1000 class.
Wow, cool.
Remember how we...
Was this the one oriented toward radio?
Yeah,
or
we did okay. it again. We did a radio-centric GT 1000 class. See, I thought you would like this. This
I like this.
Fun.
And you recorded it live?
Yeah, well, there was a lot of pre-recorded bits, but we had a crew in here. We had like 15 students in here going in and out and... panel. We had live panels and pre-recorded interviews and all kinds of stuff, and we did a bunch of hurry up and change out kind of things, like stuffing people in seats and drag them out and all that stuff. And it was a really good time, but I recognized very quickly that I am very old and very unhip and very disconnected from the popular culture and the popular understanding of life.
And what gave you away?
Well, all of it, right?
Is it your hipster flannel you're wearing today?
I don't see how you can.
All you need
is
some gum boots from L.L. Bean, and you'll be like over the edge.
Yeah, I would like some of those, actually.
They're very practical.
Here's, they brought up some things that have been going on student community-wise that I had no idea about. Like the Phi Delta Theta fraternity, right? That's the one
that has sanctions against it recently.
They're under investigation. Yeah. And then also there's I guess a backlash right now against the Office of Student Integrity.
Oh, I was not aware of this.
Yeah, I wasn't either. There's a lot of push for let's see, this is a delicate thing, right? But there's a belief, maybe widespread, that the
Does this involve some weird sexual position? Is that what you're... That was, if you're a furry, you should...
I was trying to avoid...
Turn up the air conditioning.
...this kind of moment.
Uh-oh.
The Office of Student Integrity deals with things like sexual assault, right?
Right, also cheating on tests.
And yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know Student Integrity dealt with sexual assault and harassment. I thought that was the... Well, I guess they are part of the Dean of Students.
That's the investigative.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, there's a student who was expelled for sexual assault whose side of the story was reported in the student newspaper on the 30th.
Okay.
And the Phi Delts are vocal in their belief that they have been
wrongly
railroaded.
Accused. Okay.
Yeah, wrongly accused, and that a single accusation is being used as proof when there is video evidence that it didn't happen or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm being dismissive because I don't quite understand, but it's going around and around this phrase where they say, a preponderance of video evidence proves that the allegations have no merit. Okay. I don't know anything about that.
Right.
I just know all of a sudden that there's this, I know that there is this cloud of folks feeling like the attempt to be more diverse and more respectful of diversity has gone too far. And now accusations are being taken as truth and that people are being, it's very hard to talk about.
We just got our undies in a bunch over this, right? We may have swung... a little too hard in that direction. I'm
so glad that you used gender in specific undies, because that phrase is so close to.
I wear undies,
and
sometimes they get in a bunch, and you gotta, you're like looking around at the meeting, hey, look at the grouse, and you just pull them out of your ass crack. It happens to everyone. This is not.
That's true. That's
this
true.
Is not shocking.
So do you know what I'm talking about?
But I've seen it for a long time. The millennial generation, these are the kids we're teaching now, great kids. They are relatively untouched by institutional prejudice. I really like that. That is what's been written about them. They listen to their elders, unlike, you and I, Gen X's and baby boomers, were like, don't trust anyone over 30. What bothers me is they listen to their elders, but they expect their elders to behave in a certain conservative way. And when you're a college professor who tells inappropriate jokes, it's tough sometimes.
I have a hard time believing. I mean, I don't disbelieve you.
These are all
you.
Broad generalizations,
absolutely.
Of course.
I don't disbelieve you, but I always have a hard time believing that your description of the uptight kids, it's just hard for me to fathom being 18 or 19 and being surprised if an adult
tells, when your instructor tells a dirty joke on a stage 10 miles from Georgia Tech, someone will walk out.
Actually,
they'll walk out with these glazed looks over their eyes.
I just realized I misspoke. I have no problem being with the idea that folks would be surprised, but children would be surprised.
But they're not children; they're young adults.
Yeah, I don't know. But the idea that they would have a problem with it is always weird to me. Now, I totally get that you'd have a problem with cheap racial humor or dismissive racial humor. And in fact, even I, I'm kind of done with the whole white people be like this, black people be like that kind of kind of humor. And that's
okay.
That's just a summation of a style of comedy that was really big, I think, in the late 80s, early 90s of, any color comic doing a bit where it's, you know, here is one racial group and then here's another racial group with a completely ridiculous response to something. You're being very quiet all of a sudden.
No, I think that's true. But I think you have to separate the humor from the intent. If the intent is to, minimize the importance of a particular demographic group, I think that's rude. I think that's bad. But if your intent is to create art and humor, and it's just bad art, sometimes jokes are just, and you're out to say, well, I don't think he hates people. I think he's just a bad comedian. That's okay.
There are a lot of those.
That has been levied at me numerous times.
Have you heard the thing about intolerant of intolerance?
Let me see if I can wrap my head around that oxymoron.
Well, it's out in the world.
Is that a tautology? What is that? What ology can I use to describe that?
No, I wouldn't use
that's
it like
just,
that.
That's just weird. Intolerance of intolerance.
Let's say
I think I got that one.
Yeah, let's say someone does not like gay people. Mm-hmm. And someone says, quit being like that. You're being awful. That person's argument might be, now, hold on a minute. You are from the diversity and tolerance crowd, and you are not being tolerant of my opinions, of my feelings.
That's really what this article's about.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
You are being intolerant of intolerance.
Good segue. Yeah.
It's like I said, it's a backlash. It's a snapback. Like, there was a time, and I'm going to be very general and broad and maybe even
historical. What are you afraid of a death threat here? You're being kind of a Nancy boy here. Oh, it sounds like an intolerant gay comment. I apologize for that. You're being kind of a wiener. Oh, I'm sure
said,
that's a sexual humor. I can't apologize
this is
for that.
Very good, Peter. You're doing a riff. Here's the thing. This kind of stuff, you can say things and you cannot pull them back, right?
True.
Stupid stuff that comes out of your face.
Happens all the time to me.
Yeah.
Happening right now.
And I don't mind the stupid stuff like, enjoy your meal. Oh, you too, to the waiter, or when you mangle a word, people are like, I'm sorry, you want me to use my boop poon for the soup? Is that what you're asking me to do? Yeah. Like, oh my God, I can't believe
these are honest mistakes.
Yeah,
all right, I agree.
But in this area, I always feel, I think I am gun shy at this point. Mm-hmm. And maybe this is part of my point. Mm-hmm. So I'll try again. You're right. I'm being cowardly. For a long time, there was a lot of racism and sexism, and
there still is.
Yeah. But allow me to develop a
plot line, a narrative, if you will.
Exactly, a textured point, Pete, as opposed to an aphorism.
Ooh, textured point. That sounds dirty.
Feel my textured point slowly.
I can feel it now. Can you feel my textured point?
There's a lot of racism and sexism. It was institutional. It was foundational, even.
Yeah.
And the way that rejections of racism and sexism were corrected were with a loving mallet. They were... people assumed that only a crazy person would think that things shouldn't be the way they were. That things should be different than the way they are. So, hippies, obviously insane and tearing at the fabric of America. Or
no, but they
the
also
suffragettes
make...
going against the way that the world should work.
Oh, yes.
Or, black...
The world is fine as it is. Don't be messing with my worldview.
If black people would just be more like the culture, if they would just assimilate, all these problems wouldn't happen. Those sort of attempts to... kind of subsume any kind of revolution.
Like the Borg.
Yeah, like the Borg. I mean, ideology, right, is like an amorphous mass that can take a blow, right, and then kind of pull it in, mm-hmm. right? And the idea is that you have to destroy ideology. You can't refine it, really. That's just me saying that.
Okay.
And I think right now there is a backlash against those attempts to rectify the ideological control that, like, you know, white America yeah. has held for a long time. And the backlash is basically in the form of people describing individual rights as being trampled by attempts to mm-hmm. not silence the disenfranchised.
All right, you got a lot of negatives in there. Individual rights being trampled as an attempt. No, isn't individual rights... Oh, I see. So you're talking about middle-aged white guys saying, you're trampling on my individual rights to hate people.
Not just middle-aged, right? Because it's also students, like college students. This fraternity, mm-hmm. who's been accused of... I guess the fraternity has not been accused of anything. That's a weird thing. The fraternity is the object of a lawsuit or an investigation mm-hmm. because...
Of one individual.
A black woman says that... three white guys yelled the N-word at her.
Oh, yeah.
Out
I heard
the window.
About that.
Right. And now...
Well, that's just not nice.
No, it's not nice.
Yeah.
But there's also some student conduct rules, you know, that involve tolerance of races and basically, yeah. that goes against a student code that's been established. And when you are in a kind of specialized student group like a fraternity, you mm-hmm. signed a thing that said that you'd be away, you know?
Oh, actually, that is part of Georgia Tech's policy as well, right? I think you could be living in a dorm and get into trouble for that.
Yeah,
sort
but the fraternity, I'm speaking out my ass.
Okay.
But doesn't the fraternity have a more
I don't really know. I was never in a fraternity. I know nothing about fraternities.
It was just a couple of dudes talking about stuff we don't know.
We don't know.
Like every podcast. Like so the argument... That is sort of the public argument, not the investigative argument, but the public argument is that this woman made it up, and she made it up to attack a fraternity because she's black and people are angry. Black people are angry at white people. And this is a made-up attack so that they can get one frat, and they'll get the next, and they'll get the next. And the social justice warriors mm-hmm. are allowing this to happen because it's their agenda. And what it is he said, she said, but the she said is just, you know.
Well, now you've hit upon the thing that, regardless of progressive or conservative views, pisses me off more than anything.
Oh.
Lying and cheating and distorting the truth to justify the ends. And the conservatives do that all the time. And I think liberals do as well.
I think this is why I was dancing around everything. Because, I understand where you're coming from, Pete, but I'm just so tired of conservative and liberal. I'm just so tired of
and
the conservatives are this.
It gets very fuzzy.
Most recently, the debate stuff, when Ted Cruz had mm-hmm. his scripted epiphany that the debate questions were hardballs.
I think the debate questions were lame. That's what I think. I don't blame him for being pissed.
Still, it's a calculated... act.
That is political theater.
Yes,
I pay no
you.
Attention to that crap. But when the tobacco industry knew decades before that cigarette smoke was bad for you and just lied about it, that's not there. When the oil industry, including ExxonMobil, knew decades before about issues with global warming and not only lied about it, gave millions of dollars to other people to lie about it.
Yeah, let us return to the point. So there is a backlash against the corrections of those kind of mm-hmm. longstanding betrayals that you're describing.
Yeah.
You know, money and power, because it had money and power.
You want to preserve the status quo because you have the money and power. But for you to lie for a progressive cause is just as bad.
Yeah, yeah. But that's just an accusation too, isn't it?
I don't know what happened.
Right. But what it, and so the truth or the falsehood of the accusations, mm-hmm. either way, there's nothing, I could make something up.
Yeah, somebody's bad and should suffer the consequences. I don't know which side, because I wasn't there.
But people's responses to it. And this is sort of the scientific thing.
Okay.
This is the black hole, right? You don't have any idea what's going on in that center, mm-hmm. that you know, where light cannot escape.
Right.
But you can see the reactions around it and get a sense of what's going on. Right?
Okay.
So in this way, you can see what people, because sometimes I go against my own advice and I read the comments on the internet. It's terrible for you. I'm sure it gives you cancer.
Was this on Reddit?
It's everywhere.
Don't read Reddit. Reddit's frightening. It's just frightening.
Reddit, you know, look, I'll read the comments on CNN sometimes.
They're slightly less frightening, but
no,
they're frightening than
they're more frightening because Reddit, you expect a wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Because they have utter anonymity.
Utter anonymity and also a cultural excuse.
Yeah.
Essentially, you know, Reddit is expected to be
mean. just mean.
But it seems like people feel that, this is a political correctness gone mad, or the social justice warriors won't stop until every white person is in chains, or, you know, I'm making that up, but, you know, the feeling that the writing of institutional prejudice is mm-hmm. somehow now crushing innocent individuals. I see it's out there.
Okay.
And it turns into a rejection of diversity. Did you see the boycott the new Star Wars thing?
They're boycotting the new Star Wars
movie?
No,
there was this hashtag boycott Star Wars 7 The Force Awakens mm-hmm. because diversity is white genocide.
I don't think it is.
I don't think it is either, but...
I think that's a bit of a stretch.
It is a bit of a stretch. But it's a thing that got some traction.
Yeah, but these people that are just like, you know, soon, in different parts of the country, in certain cities, within the next decade, white people will no longer be the majority, right?
Not a majority, but they'll be a plurality, will they not?
Well, they won't. Yeah, they'll be part of plurality. No, they may be the biggest part of the plurality.
Right, but isn't that what a plurality means?
What does a plurality mean? You're the library guy.
Oh, my God. I got to look goddamn things up all the time.
But the point is, the population of white people is shrinking, and it's just the nature of how our demographics work. I mean, we are a melting pot. For the longest time, most of our immigrants came from Europe. They happen to be white people. Now it's different people. It's people from Hispanic countries and Middle Eastern countries and African countries and Asian countries. And so what? It's just the trend. It's how things are happening. It's like the fact that the galaxies are moving apart. There's nothing you can do about it. It's just the way it is.
I'm sorry.
Oh, my God. The galaxies are moving apart.
Pete, I was looking up plurality and majority, and I missed everything until you said the galaxies are moving apart.
But that's what I'm saying.
I think I missed some steps.
You get upset. People get upset over these trends that are just happening. You know, what if white people are no longer the majority? There may be some good things to that. First of all, I'll finally be exotic. That's what I'm waiting for.
you won't be exotic.
I was waiting 23 minutes for that joke.
Because that's plurality, right? Plurality.
Okay,
is
yeah, you're right. I got to be.
The subset is larger than any other, considered subset.
Yeah. So we may still be the largest subset, but we may not even be the largest subset in some areas. That's happening too.
That's cool too.
Why is that bad?
Some people feel that it's very bad.
But this is raging. It's, well, these young people will be in charge in a couple of years. That can't be good. You know, it's just the way it is, dude.
I don't think it's young people that folks are upset. Like, they're afraid that these black people will be in charge, or these Asian people will be in charge. Or these women will be in charge.
This is time for an editorial. Ladies, I'm very disappointed. Women are getting in charge more and more each day, right? There are women and captains of industry.
Wait, what are you disappointed in?
I'm disappointed in the fact that I would hope women would look at the really bad example that men set for them and do things differently. And in some ways they are. but not in enough ways.
Now who's a Nancy boy?
Men have screwed up the plan. I don't take offense at being called a Nancy boy. I like romantic comedies. Piss off. Men have screwed up the planet so badly. And sometimes, and in some ways, women are changing that. But in other ways, they get into power, and sometimes they're jerkwads just like us. So I'm hopeful.
Well, less of that. It's a cliche, obviously, about power and how it corrupts.
Yeah.
But I mean, the reason
it's true.
It's the reason that it has such long legs, and it's not a it's not a cliche like, well, it is what it is, or something like that. I mean, the cliche of power corrupts, absolute power corrupts absolutely. It feels right. And we have pretty daily
evidence
that power corrupts. But there's also the reverse, mm-hmm. right? That lack of power enrages, right? Disenfranchisement
I'll tell
enrages.
You. Yeah. Howdy Bob. Yeah, that's true.
And I think it's interesting. Did you say Howdy Bob?
Howdy Bobby.
Don't you mean boy howdy?
Boy howdy, eh? I don't know. This is one of those brain fart things you were talking about. I'm gonna use my boob spoon.
I guess, okay, so we're what, 25 minutes?
Sorry,
in,
sir, the boob spoons are in the back with the neoprene latex suits.
And I think I'm just about ready to say some honest things, like podcast style.
Well, say them, because have you made a point here other than the fact that this is a touchy issue? That's really all you said. What a wimp.
Yeah.
What are you trying to say?
I am surprised mm-hmm. at the anger that's so evident. I am surprised at the insistence on the moral high ground, essentially, by people who feel that they're being attacked mm-hmm. by coordinated duplicitous forces.
I'm going to go with my very human interpretation of things like, have you seen the new movie The Truth, about the story about President George W. Bush shirking his duty in the Air National Guard in Texas?
Wait, isn't Dan Rather already fired? I mean, do we have to...
Well, no, so
again?
They made a movie about it based on the book written by the producer. And I think what a lot of people reviewed about it, they said, look, I don't know if they doctored the documents or not, but I truly believe that George W. Bush did not serve. I don't know what the truth is. I'm just going to say I have a hard time believing. What is the motivation of this woman to claim that she was the victim of racial slurs?
Whoa.
Right.
Okay, so, yeah.
But I'm willing to look. Give me the video evidence. I want to see the video evidence. If they were wrongly accused, shame on her. If they were rightly accused, shame on them. What do you want me to say?
Isn't the attempt to go after motivation to try... Because you're like, why would she make it up? Isn't that the wrong way to do things anyway? Isn't that kind of a failure?
Well, the right way is to look at what direct evidence you have.
Right. And direct evidence is usually... absent in a case, because mm-hmm. when someone finds a dark moment, I assume dark or not, whatever. When someone finds an unrecorded time mm-hmm. to say, I hate you. See, here's the thing. One of the reasons I have to be so circumspect about that is that I don't want to record myself saying some things that these guys are accused of saying. I don't want to record
right.
phrases that describe the mental state of people who I think are awful. Describe the mental state of this conceptual person who I think is awful.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to kind of dance around it.
Why can't you describe the mental state of someone who's racist and doesn't believe that other demographics of society are
not mental
entitled?
State. I don't want to articulate their belief system.
Okay. Because it would give it credibility?
No,
because
then
it's
my
going
words,
out to the millions of
I'll
listeners.
I'll be recorded
of this.
Saying something like, it's like if the problem was, the... let's get a good example. Oh, if the problem was Nickelback fans, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I was saying, these guys leaned out a window and they said, hey,
you're a
go
Nickelback
home, Nickelbacks.
Right? Okay.
Then now it's recorded that okay. I said, go home, Nickelbacks.
Yeah.
And just the idea of having that soundbite out in the world in my voice, I don't like that. I don't want that. That's why I'm being so circumspect. Because then also I don't want to describe things like, and then, maybe Nickelback's a good band. Maybe people like Nickelback because it's real music, right? That mm-hmm. the recording of that, the equivalent statement mm-hmm. when it comes to racial prejudice is something I don't want.
Okay. But you will have to make a point nonetheless.
I feel like I've made a point.
Okay.
You know, I am surprised. I am surprised by the vitriol and the and the anger and the certainty.
Oh, I see. You've been reading the comment section again. Sometimes people are just pissed off. And they don't think about it. I mean, this whole thing with Join the Brave and Bold wanting to change the song. My daughter got these Facebook posts from alumni that were just rude.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was nasty.
And there was a guy who wrote an apology to the Office of Diversity that was a very sarcastic apology that, you know, so I'm sorry that I think differently from you. You know, that sort of thing.
But was he saying it's unfair to convict someone when the evidence, the preponderance of evidence says something different? Oh, I agree with him. But is he saying it's unfair to penalize us because we believe hate speech should be protected on a university campus? It is, by the way, protected in much of the public sector. It is not protected on a university campus. The courts have spoken on this.
It is a classic example of people attacking the process in order to dispute the results.
Okay.
I guess I don't have a point, Pete.
Finally, he admits it.
I feel...
No, you're surprised. I'm elated that students are getting upset about anything. I think they sit around and go, well, there's nothing we can do about it. Now, will they at least vote? Will they vote in the Student Government Association elections? Will they vote in their local and national elections? Whatever their view is, I want them to vote. They're not voting. It's very disappointing to me.
Yeah. I don't know about the voting.
My God,
thing.
You sound like somebody from Office Space. Did you get the memo? Yeah.
Now, that is an insult, Pete. I don't know why you had to bring that up.
No, I love that movie.
No, that I sounded like one of them.
No, but just the way you said, yeah.
Did you get the memo about what we're doing with the TPS reports? I guess I am going around in circles. Mm-hmm. I don't really have a point.
I'll allow it.
Thank you.
You're clearly upset. But what are you upset by? The fact that they lashed out against this young woman saying that she might be doing this on purpose?
I think I am wondering. So the 70s were a time of deep social unrest and economic travails. And I mean, I think that was basically the crime spike. Mm-hmm. You know, certainly the image of decaying urban centers and horrible crime, that comes from the 70s, the late 70s.
Right.
And I wonder if that's about to happen again, if the times are a-changing, if we're approaching a place where all groups of society, not just the disenfranchised, but all groups of society are ready to do violence and ready to do system crashing, you know, because of...
On behalf of their view.
On behalf of their view, exactly.
Oh, well, that would scare the crap out of me, man. I can't believe you're just drinking coffee if you came to...
Do you not think...
I'd be pounding alcohol going, the end is nigh. Is that
how
I said?
Do you not think that's possible? How old were you in the late 70s? 75 to 80, how old were you?
Are you kidding? I remember, I mean, I was 10 years old in 1972.
So you were a young man in the time I'm talking about.
In the late 60s, my sister was dating a young black man from Chicago. And holy crap, was that a big deal back in the 60s.
So wait, you were 4 or 5 at that time?
No, so I was like 8 or 9.
Wait, how old are you?
I was born in 1962. I'm 53 years old.
Yeah. Okay. So your sister, before you were born...
No. Back in 1968, 69,
late 60s.
Right? So when I was like 7 or 8 years old, my sister was, his name was Glenn. Seemed like a nice guy.
Hi, Glenn.
And that was a big deal. He was actually shot. I don't know if it was a gangland shooting or whatever, but I mean, I was in the thick of it. And people would ask me, why is she doing that? Well, I said, I think she likes him. He seemed like a nice kid. I mean, what bothers me about the current legacy is what conservatives say. I mean, I think we could do a simple social experiment. Put yourself in the other guy's shoes. right? And so I grew up in a suburb with a high school funded, not by my parents, mind you, but the tax base of a lot of rich people that lived near us. You know, we had a nice high school. I've told you this before.
Were you living in a garden house?
What's a garden
carriage house? A carriage house, excuse me. A garden apartment or a carriage house.
We lived in like a split level. You know, but the point is, I could walk to school, and the only thing I had to worry about was the occasional bully who would harass me and call me names. I didn't have to worry about being shot. I didn't have to worry about being co-opted into a gang. And I've said this time and time before. I knew where my future went. My future went to college and career choices and things like that.
Cooked food from gas stations?
No, even though my father, I'll never forget his parting words, "If you think you're getting a damn dime from me for school, you got another thing coming." Although he didn't say it in that kind of
that prospect
deliverance, Yosemite Sam sort of thing. But so I knew where I was going. So I remember when I worked at Frank's Finer Foods backing groceries, I took pride in my job because I hadn't been doing that job for 20 years and realized I was going to be doing that job for the next 20 years. I knew I was going to be going somewhere. I was able to do my homework because I was able to do that unfettered. I had possibilities. But if you put me, you know, a reasonably smart kid in some of these inner city environments where I was dodging, you know, gang violence on the way home, and I didn't have an opportunity to get my homework done, and I didn't have opportunities, I would have done the math because I'm pretty good at math. I would have done the math and said my best way out of here is selling drugs on a street corner. It's actually quite lucrative. I would have done the risk-benefit analysis. Right?
Yeah, there's an economic argument, certainly.
Yeah, so I don't know why people can't see that. And I hate this welfare queen stuff. Yes, there are people that take advantage of the government dole system. They do it here. They do it in socialist countries. Happens all the time. I would like to eliminate them as best we can. But I still say the majority of people are trying to work hard and make a better life for themselves and their family. And for you to say, oh, they're all lazy, whether it's a person of a particular race or a particular socioeconomic background, I just don't know how people can say that.
So that's we've solved the problem of prejudice.
No, we haven't.
A short monologue by Pete Littovitz.
Oh, no, we haven't. But I will say this, and it's not necessarily study abroad at a place like Georgia Tech, although study abroad is important, even though when I was in school, I thought it was for spoiled rich kids. People need to get out. Diversity is important. And in fact, I will make the point for Arthur C. Brooks' article, Academia's Rejection of Diversity. Arthur C. Brooks is the president of the American Enterprise Institute, which is a think tank for conservative thought. you have to talk to conservatives. You need to talk to all kinds of people. It's only from meeting people from all different walks of life that you understand things. And I just watched the movie Dutch with Ed O'Neill. Is Ed O'Neill the guy who plays the father?
That is Ed O'Neill.
Fabulous movie. Have you watched Dutch?
I need you to bring this home, Pete.
Okay. You know, the kid he picked up from boarding school lived in the rarefied air of rich people's lives. And in that movie, he got to see how other kinds of people live, and it changed him for the better. We all need to do that. But that is easier said than done. Booyah.
Let's record another outro.
Okay.
Consilience with Pete and Charlie is a podcast about the intersection of science and the humanities. Why? This feels so fake.
Do it anyway.
Find us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter, Bennett Radio and Pete Ludovus.
Or you can find us on the back porch of Rocky Mountain Pizza in Midtown Atlanta drinking cheap beer.